This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Chris Ronchi, Amy Marks-Kors, The Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Sterling Hoffrichter from Syracuse will punt. Oh, it's a fake, and it's going to work! Gary Jennings into the open field! Gary Jennings, the foot race, gets a block! Jennings, did he get it?
Hey, that was the 2023 XFL play of the year, and it was a pass caught from the punter to our next guest. It is St. Louis Battlehawks wide receiver Gary Jennings joining the show on KMOX. Gary, how you doing?
Hey, how are you doing, guys? How are you doing?
You know, we're doing great here. We're loving Battlehawks season because it is underway, and the team will play against Michigan. It'll be at 6 o'clock. And one thing that we have noticed in the time the Battlehawks have been here, and this is your second stint with the team, you've been here before, that it's just a lot of fun. It is so much fun in that building. It is for fans. Does it feel that way to players too?
100%. You know, this is it's an ecosystem that's really, it's built on brotherhood. It has a lot of like a college feel to it. We're around each other a lot. We're able to get to know each other on a deeper level, and really it's just all about ball. It's all about ball and the relationships that we make. So it's so much fun.
You know, Gary, I'm glad you brought that up, that you said it's kind of like a college feel. I was going to ask, what is the vibe of the league, of the team, compared to, say, college football versus the NFL? Obviously a different setup, where the UFL is in Texas, and then when you have home games, you go to your respective cities. How does that affect the feel of the league?
Well, our coaches definitely hold us to a professional standard. With the setup, with how much we're around each other, usually in the NFL, it's more so, you know, you're around the building, you may hang around your core group of guys outside of ball, kind of maybe not as often, but here we're around each other for hours on end throughout the day, and I think that just brings us so much closer and allows us to be able to communicate, and it just forms those relationships so much better even after the season is over with. So I think it's something that's very special about this league.
Yeah, and you've been with professional teams like NFL teams. You know, you were with the, you know, the Seahawks and the Dolphins, and you kind of been around all over. I know it's a different product and a different vibe, but just how different is UFL?
It's a grind. It's a grind for sure. You could say from there's just different levels to things from as far as just from different standpoints, like yeah. In the NFL, yeah, from like in NFL, we have like with different scheduling, we have different train tables. But I think the main thing to take away from all of it is that we take advantage, and we all know people that that have been in the league are just truly grateful for the opportunities and things that we have here at this current point in time. So I think that's the main thing to take away from it.
I said earlier the Battle Hawks play against the Panthers on Saturday at 6. It's actually Arlington. They will play Arlington at 11:30. I'm sure I confused Gary because he said, wait a minute, game's later than I thought.
I thought you were talking about our next home game or something.
No. Sorry, Gary. You have to be there. The game's at 11:30. What is it like in terms of preparation, scouting another team, you know, going through film and that sort of thing? Is it similar to the NFL? Is it a little bit less intense, or how is it?
Well, as a professional, you should approach the game. We all have standards for ourselves, and our coaches hold us, like I said, to a high standard as well. A lot of them have, you know, numerous years of NFL experience. So we hold ourselves to that standard, and they definitely hold ourselves to that standard. So, as far as preparation goes, they're treating it like it is an NFL game, and we're treating that as such as well. So, I guess the main thing that can, the discrepancies or the differences, between the NFL and UFL is sometimes there's a lot of turnover with the UFL, but generally speaking, the concepts and personnel are pretty similar.
Gary, growing up, was it always football for you? Did you have other sports that you played or, you know, equally loved?
I played basketball growing up. I was a big Miami Heat fan. Mm-hmm. Growing up in those Dwayne Wade.
Oh yeah.
Those
LeBron days.
My favorite player. Yeah, LeBron days. Even before then, I was a real Heat fan. I wasn't a
okay.
Heat fan.
You weren't a big three. All the here
yeah,
come
I
these
wasn't
guys.
A big three. I was there before the big three for sure.
Is that what you have to tell people? Like, hey, I was there when they weren't, you know, that.
Right. People think, oh, like you were just following. No, I was there since the beginning. So
yeah.
I was a big basketball guy growing up. I did a little bit of track. I could always run.
Mm-hmm.
But I was big on basketball, big on football, and those were my main two.
When did you decide that you wanted to play football in college?
I would say that goal got pretty narrow probably around my eighth grade year, grade going into high school.
Okay.
I still love basketball, but I just figured a 6'2 receiver is better than a 6'2 guard at the time. So.
That's probably dirty.
Yeah.
So I just using my brain in that capacity definitely helped shape that up.
Unless you can shoot. I mean, if you can
right,
shoot.
You got to shoot the lights out.
Yeah.
You definitely got to shoot the lights
you gotta
out.
You got to be Steph if you're 6'2 and you want to play. Yeah, there you go.
Well, even the track skills, though, I'm trying to remember who it was. Akeem Haynes. He was like an Olympian in the 400-meter dash and a punt returner because he had that speed. Did you ever think of going that route? Did you stay with track very long? Because the speed in the NFL, the speed in football in general, really does kind of compare to those track sprinters.
Yeah, I do know track speed is different. There's a lot of football players that can run track, but track speed is different.
Yeah.
In that same breath, I remember growing up, you know, a lot of the track coaches, they would say there was a football player, Jeff Demps, out of Florida. They're like, yeah, like, he's this guy, he's, you know, really fast guy on track. Like, you can do the same thing, you know, in that sense. So, yeah, I mean, they both do, they help with running form and they translate. Those guys are moving out there, though, on track, like really moving.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We're talking about your football career and getting to that point and just seeing how many different NFL teams that you were with, and sometimes pretty briefly you were with them. You know, the Seahawks, Dolphins, Ravens, Bills, Colts, Chiefs. You know, you've been with all these teams, and it says to me that you're just somebody who absolutely loves football, that you have worked and you have had all of these opportunities and continue to seek them out.
Yeah, I pride my journey on being resilient, and I've learned so many different lessons. I've met so many people, and I am so much better of a person overall, like in my craft, how I carry myself, my diet, my faith. You know, I'm just so much better for it through all the doors that I've walked in and out of. So through that, you know, I'm really just thankful for each and every opportunity, and it can be a blur at times too. It is kind of crazy, but I really sometimes don't even remember, like, dang, like I was like my brother or my brothers and family, they got to like remind me sometimes, like, oh, like, yeah, you were there for like a little bit, but you know, it's crazy.
That's
but
awesome.
I'm truly thankful for each and every single lesson that, you know, I learned along the way, and you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything.
It is kind of amazing though to be able to be like, have somebody remind you that you were with the Colts, and you go, oh yeah,
oh, yeah, I was with the Colts.
I was with the Colts
yeah,
for
right.
a little bit.
Yeah, and they'll say, they're like, Gary, don't do that to me. Like, come on, you remember this, right?
That's awesome. Have you had many friends and family members be able to go to any Battlehawks games at the Dome?
Yes, I've had my parents and my siblings. I'm the youngest, so they've definitely you know, shown up to games at the Dome, and then they love it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Sure.
So do they get in with the rowdies? There are a lot of rowdies at those games.
My mom is probably the lead rowdy.
That's awesome.
She's spraying beer everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
I don't know about the beer, but she's definitely screaming, stomping, all the above.
I like to think that she's getting people riled up. Like, she's causing the instigator, causing the trouble. I like that.
Well, if she's listening right now, I'd say she want me to say she's keeping the peace. But
okay, okay, she's not starting anything.
I'll stay on that good. So yeah, let's not start anything there.
But I bet she is telling everybody around her that you are her son.
Oh yeah,
that's my kid down there.
Yeah, definitely can tell if that. Though my parents, you know, they're my number one supporters, and you know, I love them. Love them very much.
So, last thing, the UFL has announced again that the championship game is going to be here in St. Louis because the attendance is the best in the league by a pretty wide margin. So do you feel extra pressure to now make sure the Battlehawks get to the championship game?
There's no pressure. It's just what we're going to do.
Okay.
There's no pressure. It's just what, you know, like, and I know that, you know, they say not to do call-outs, but that's just what is going to happen. You know, it's set up for that. So, you know, we're taking things week by week, but you know, we can't wait to be in that championship game. And that literally had, I know once we get to that championship game, that thing's going to be packed full. So I can't wait for it. Really.
All right. I love that confidence. We need to hear it. Okay. So this is actually the last thing. We're going to give away a couple of Battlehawks tickets to a listener. And you have to give us a number between 1 and 15, and that's the number caller who wins the ticket. So what's the number?
Come on, I'm number 12. We got to go with number 12.
Number 12.
I knew he was going to say that. 12th caller to the contest line at 955-1120 gets a pair of tickets to see the Battlehawks at any point during the regular season. Gary Jennings, we really appreciate it. We wish you the best of luck. We have a lot of fun watching the games, and it's good to know that you are having a great time playing here in St. Louis. Yeah. So thank you very much for talking to us today.
Thanks, Chris and Amy. I appreciate you guys. Hope to see you guys soon.
Battlehawks wide receiver Gary Jennings with us here on KMOX. And again, they play at 11:30 against Arlington, and that game is on Saturday.
Good stuff. Man, that's a great... See, I'm glad it's an 11:30 game. You watched that game, then Blues hockey.
Oh, yeah.
What time do the Cardinals play Saturday?
I think it's a 6 o'clock.
Okay. Well, you can listen to the Cardinals on KMOX. Watch the Blues game after you watch the Battlehawks.
3:05.
3:05. I lied. 3 o'clock game against the Mets.
Oh, this is awesome! You could just stack them right on top of each other.
You really could.
Battlehawks.
Battlehawks at 11:30. Cardinals at 3 o'clock.
Blues at 5.
Wow! What a day!
Hot dog.
So yeah, we're looking for caller 12 to 314-955-1120. Best of luck to all of you trying to win tickets. If you don't win, which you probably won't, don't worry. You'll have another chance tomorrow on the Chris and Amy Show, 104.1 FM KMOX.
Well,
hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Otani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Well, Ranj, we talked about ladies in space. You know, the space ladies?
Ladies in space! I love ladies in space.
It sounds like really terrible pay-per-view.
Wasn't there, what was that movie called? Amazon Women on the Moon?
Really?
You know what I'm talking about? It's from the 80s.
It sounds like it would be from the 80s. And I said that this is not a step forward for womankind. This is actually, I think, a backward step for feminism, throwing Katy Perry, a ridiculous pop star. I mean, she's successful, good for her, but I don't think she's not necessarily someone that people take seriously.
Astronomy and astrology.
All of it.
All of it. She loved both astronomy and astrology.
Which are, they're both completely different.
Gayle King, the very much famous bra-wearing, like bra-only wearing, Lauren Sanchez, Jeff Bezos' wife. She wore that.
She had a jacket.
She had a jacket over the bra. It wasn't, the jacket didn't really close. It was very distracting for the guys around her, apparently, at Donald Trump's inauguration. Anyway, not necessarily someone that I would say, hey, ladies, daughters, young women, be like Lauren Sanchez. Anyway, they put them in a capsule and shot them into space for 10 minutes, and they came back down. And I, like I said, figured it would be a backwards step for feminism because it's almost like saying, now that we can shoot anybody into space, we could shoot a potato into space, why don't we shoot some women into space and pretend like they accomplished something? And that's what this was. Now, Katie Couric was taking it seriously. A lot of the news media was taking it seriously. Gayle King obviously took it very seriously. And she was in an interview with Extra the day after going into space. And she said, I know there's some haters, but I'm not going to let people steal my joy and steal the joy of what we did or what we accomplished that day. I'm just not going to let it in. I'm not. There were some celebrities like Olivia Munn who openly criticized the voyage as an expensive stunt and a publicity push. And here's the thing. If you want to look at it as the next step in space tourism, that while only the rich and famous can afford it now, eventually, maybe the average Joe will be able to afford a trip to space.
We're headed that direction.
Like going to Disney World.
It will be decades, probably, but it will happen.
And I'm fine with that because people all have long talked about, when can the average Joe go to space? Well, this is how it starts. Obviously, it always starts with the wealthy because it's going to be expensive at first. I have no problem with that.
Laptops used to be like $8,000.
You used to have to take your shoes off in a room with computers.
And now they're $800.
Yeah. And so when it comes to space tourism, commercial flight into space, totally fine with it. But it wasn't this women's empowerment movement. And they're facing a lot of pushback. They're also facing pushback because people are saying it's tone deaf right now for these really wealthy celebrities to go into space. Like I said, I'm not as sensitive to that aspect of it. Of course, they're wealthy. They're going to have this opportunity. But it's not a step for feminism.
No, and here's what I would say. I bet the vast majority of the country, a huge percentage of them, don't really think much of this or think it's silly. I don't think that there's anything but a very, very, very small percentage of people who think this is some sort of major accomplishment.
Yeah.
I don't. But I would say this, though. If you want to make this an impressive tourist trip, they need to do an Apollo 13 experience. And this is what it should be. They should send you off toward the moon, and then halfway before you get there, of course, this is all done safely, right? Like halfway, you're almost to the moon, but not quite. They make it feel like there's a real explosion, and then you lose all power. It gets really, really cold, and then they slingshot you around the moon in total darkness. You have no power or anything. They just recreate the entire Apollo 13 experience, and then they bring you back, and then you land in the ocean. If they did that, and there were some celebrities that got on board with it, I think that would be impressive.
Okay.
Because it's kind of like,
it still wouldn't be an accomplishment. It's that you can handle a ride. Because here's the thing.
But it was freezing up there.
It was freezing.
And you don't get coats.
Listen, I get it that it is cool that they were brave enough to do it. I mean, I passed out on the mine train. I couldn't do it. I'm not saying that it isn't impressive that they were willing to be shot into space, be weightless for a bit, and come back down, splash down in the ocean. But again, it's not an accomplishment for womankind. Sunny Williams had already been in space for, what was it, 8-9 months? And people were giving Katy Perry, she was catching some flack for kissing the ground after being weightless for 4 minutes. I think the whole trip was 10 minutes. Guess who was giving her a ton of trouble? Wendy's. The fast food chain, Wendy's. The social media account.
Yeah.
They posted that she kissed the ground and she liked it. And then it said, can we send her back? So I don't know what Wendy's beef is with Katy Perry.
The Wendy's has nothing but beef. What do you mean? Everybody was asking where it is, and Wendy's is telling you it's right here.
I thought it was Arby's.
Where's the beef, Wendy's?
Arby's is asking where's the beef, and Wendy's is saying.
Hey, we're not doing details here. Amazon women on the moon. Michelle Pfeiffer, Rosanna Arquette, Arsenio Hall, Carrie Fisher, Steve Guttenberg.
Whoa!
Yeah.
That's an all-star lineup.
I know, right? That's a lot of great people. Kelly Preston, Ed Begley Jr.
Wow.
Right?
What
Amazon
year?
Women, 1987.
Can you read us the premise?
In this film of unconnected humor sketches, bad movies, and late-night television are parodied extensively.
Oh.
A doctor has to help Brenda give birth with unexpected results. This is, well, there are multiple. It's like, I guess, sketches here is what it is. I think I've seen it, but I don't remember.
Amazon women on the moon.
Yeah.
I like it.
I know I've seen it, but I don't. It made $548,000 at the box office.
I thought you were going to say made $548.
If you've seen Amazon Women on the Moon,
yeah,
let us know if it's funny or not. I know I've seen it. I was young. I don't remember it, so I can't tell
you. What is more impressive to you, that Gayle King and Katy Perry went to space or that they made Amazon Women on the Moon with that lineup?
I mean... And it only made, it was $500,000 good in the late 80s for a movie?
I think even in the 80s, that's not great.
Doesn't sound good.
I love Steve Guttenberg.
I know you love Steve Guttenberg. Guttenberg.
What?
Remember we had Michael Winslow in here a few weeks ago? The voices guy?
Steve Guttenberg was in one of the first Hallmark Christmas movies, when they got really popular. It was Single Santa Seeking Mrs. Claus.
And he was helping people during the California fires.
Oh, he was. Well, and the reporter who interviewed him did not know who he was. Did the whole interview and said, and what is your name?
Just watch one Police Academy movie, would you?
Watch It Takes Two with Kirstie Alley and the Olsen twins and Steve Guttenberg.
What's the movie about being the three men and a baby?
Mm-hmm.
That one, too. He's in
Remember,
that.
Remember, what's the one with the robot?
Oh, Short Circuit?
Short Circuit!
Johnny number 5?
Johnny 5!
Dude, I love Short Circuit.
Steve Guttenberg might be the best actor ever.
Okay. That's Amy Marks-Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. Don't forget the Gas House Gang. It's coming up, Bernie Miklas and me. That starts at 12 o'clock. We'll talk some Cardinals baseball, Blues hockey, and all of it on KMOX. Congratulations to Joe in Webster Groves, who is going to see the Battlehawks whenever he wants. We have regular season ducats to give away, and we have another pair tomorrow. We'll do that. You have to be listening for your chance to win between 9 and noon. That is when the Chris and Amy show is on. Congratulations, Joe. Any regular season game he gets to pick. I think that's a pretty good deal.
I think it's a great deal.
And so the pair of tickets we give away tomorrow will be the exact same deal.
We are always telling you to call in or text in or leave us a voice message on the Odyssey app. We opened the show today talking about Parkway School District, which will be going cell phone free for the school year next year. And you guys called in.
Good morning. Students who are adept at their cell phones are also good at passing notes. They can have their phones in their pockets and text on in their pockets, and they're passing notes. They're just doing it the new school way. Yes, the school districts, I think, that are successful, the ones that collect the cell phones when the students come into the room and then give them back when the students leave the room. But the students have their cell phones in their pockets. They know how to text without looking at the phone, and they can do it very well from a teacher and a principal who's had to go through this.
Oh, thank you for the call. And I agree. I think the more inaccessible your phone is, the better the focus, the less of a temptation it is for the student. Like we said, we need to chat with someone from Parkway in the reports. It didn't exactly say where the students' phones will be, because we do know the students will have access to the phones during lunch, during passing periods, after school. That's for high school. In elementary school, grade school, the kids won't have any phones at all. But there were some schools that put the phones in those clear bags so you could see if someone's trying to get a hold of you, but a teacher would need to unlock the bag, unseal the bag so you can access your phone. I think the further the phone is away from you, in general, the better.
I totally agree.
Like, even with sleeping, they say that putting your phone on your dresser is not even the same as putting your phone in a separate room. And you really can feel the difference. You can tell when your phone's in a separate room. Or if you have your phone and you're trying to tell yourself not to look at it because it's in your pocket versus leaving it at home. Obviously, two different experiences. And so, yeah, I'm sure kids will figure out a way, if their phones aren't locked up, to kind of work the system. But at this point, anything helps.
So then just make it so that they have to turn in their phone when they come in. Look, if it's an emergency situation, somebody in the room, a teacher, mm-hmm. will have access, or maybe one person, one student is designated to have access to a phone. Mm-hmm. If there is some kind of emergency, that's fine. But everybody doesn't have to have one.
Yeah.
You know, this can be done.
I think the kids will love it. The kids that were interviewed in these multiple schools that have done this already are so grateful for the policy.
Because here's what it is. It's fear of missing out. Mm-hmm. If everybody has to do it, nobody's missing out. Mm-hmm. If it's 25 students get to have their phones, but the 26th doesn't, then that's missing out. So if everybody has to go along with it, it's my old philosophy that when I die, I hope it's an asteroid that hits the Earth, right? Because I want everybody to go at the same time. That way I won't feel like I'm missing out when I'm dying.
Also, when he gets fired, he wants all of us to be fired.
Yeah,
whole station to shut down.
Right.
Because he doesn't want to miss out.
Right. When I get fired from KMOX, I want it to be because the entire station is flipping to Christian.
So I get to stay?
Oh, damn. No, wait. No, it's got to be smooth jazz. Nobody here can do smooth jazz. So that's what I want. It's a fear of missing out thing. That's all it is. So if everybody has to do it, it's not that big of a deal. Students will adjust to it. And I do think they will ultimately be better off.
Yeah, I do too. Like I said, I feel passionate about teaching, educating. I was a homeschooler, right? Helped in the homeschool group. And I had more authority when I taught in the homeschool co-ops because I could make my decisions for what I allowed and didn't allow in the classroom. I understand that. But it was, yes, a no phone situation. Hey, Ranj, I brought up the story yesterday. It's a profile on Elon Musk in the Wall Street Journal. And it's about tactics he uses to manage his legion of babies, because he likes to call it a legion of babies, and their mothers. So Elon Musk has a fixer, Jared Birchall. Now, Birchall runs Elon Musk's quote-unquote family office. He was also the guy that organized the $250 million push to help get Donald Trump elected. He helped manage that $250 million from Elon Musk. And so Elon Musk has been in the news, obviously, with Doge and politics and all that type of thing. But Ashley St. Clair was a right-wing social media influencer. I think she's the latest person to have one of his babies, but it has put into the spotlight Musk's, what I will call, perverse, harmful, and destructive view towards family and fatherhood and children. And here's the thing. This matters. This is such a malformative approach to fatherhood and marriage and children that we're seeing in two of the most powerful men in our country right now, with Donald Trump and Elon Musk. It does matter. If you thought Clinton's infidelities matters, this matters. If you think, well, Democrats, they don't understand the nuclear family. They don't understand how marriage is sacred, or the sanctity of male and female, if you think all of those things, then you should really, really care about how perverse and evil Elon Musk is. And I would put Donald Trump in there when it comes to marriage, men, women, and children. So Musk has at least 14 children with four different women, but multiple close sources say they believe the number is much higher. He has a whole system for dealing with the women who bear his children. He has six kids with his ex-wife. He has three kids with the singer Grimes, and he has four kids with Siobhan Zillis.
Yeah, can we talk about the names of these children, please?
The names of all of his kids?
Yeah, do you want to hear what they are?
I mean, if you want to name some of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is like the least offensive part of the story, by the way.
No, it is. It's just the names are Strider, not that big of a deal. Azur, Arcadia, Seldon Lycurgus is one of them. This one is spelled, it's got Roman numerals in it, but it is pronounced X-A-12.
That's the one with like the A-E.
Yeah, it's like
looking.
The X, the A-E. And Exa Dark Side Reel.
Okay.
And Tau Techno. The most recent one with Ashley St. Clair.
Romulus.
Yeah. So these are all his ideas because he is an idiot.
So Ashley St. Clair, she was on a two-hour phone call with Jared Burchill because, of course, Elon Musk doesn't talk to these women. He either donates his sperm to them or, in his word, knocks them up and then doesn't talk to them. Then Jared Burchill deals with it. And Jared Burchill told Ashley St. Clair that Musk is generous, kind, and big-hearted, but warned her that when these mothers, again, mothers of Musk's children, go the legal route, it's always worse for the mom. And he also said that he wasn't sure, Musk wasn't even sure that Ashley St. Clair child was his. By the way, it is.
It is 99.9%
probability.
Yeah, they
did a paternity test. Yep. So Musk offered St. Clair what he offers a lot of the women, which is $15 million and then $100,000 a month for silence. Just don't talk about it. If the women push back at all and say, we want you to be part of this life or we want something else, then Musk then threatens financial retribution against the women. And the more they push back, the more maybe he sues them. Maybe he cuts off their funding altogether. He said it's a meritocracy where benefits flow when, quote, people do good work. So he wants the women to fall in line.
A meritocracy for his children?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's so gross. Also, again, he believes that civilization will crumble if people don't have more kids, right? You think, okay, well, I'm a pronatalist. Kids are a blessing. Okay. Except he is just, he'll follow right-wing influencers on Twitter and then solicit them and say, if I send you my sperm, do you want to have one of my kids? Because he thinks that, oh, you look smart. That's why he reached out to Siobhan Zillis. He donated his sperm to her. She was on the Bloomberg 30 Under 30 because he wants smart people to have kids. He thought she looked smart. He thinks he's smart. He doesn't want poor people to have kids. He doesn't want third world countries to have kids. That concerns him. He just wants, you know, the elites to have kids. He also went on vacation with Ashley St. Clair and, like, I guess, like, hey, let's have sex now. Pick a name. Let's go for it. Pick a name for the kid. He also, again, this is kind of adult content, but he doesn't believe in vaginal births because he thinks that if you have births naturally, it will diminish the ability of the brain to grow. He thinks the brains can't grow big enough if you have a vaginal birth, The brain of the baby, which every doctor will tell you the benefits of the baby and the mother to have a vaginal birth if possible. So he pressures these women into getting C-sections, getting cut open to have these babies because he doesn't believe in vaginal births. He thinks they're wrong. He also doesn't believe in circumcision and pressures this into the women who are having these kids. And I just want to say, I have never seen it. Just, it grosses me out. I think it's important. Let's not even talk politics. Let's just talk about what a perverse, evil approach to fatherhood this is.
This is the kind of behavior that you engage in when you have
psychotic.
Well, yes, but you have an ungodly amount of money to be able to do whatever you want and convince people of whatever you want. money buys influence, and it buys a lot of leeway when you're nuts. When you're because people will put up with it because he's got a lot of money and he can help me out with all of his money. So we're going to allow him to just be a lunatic because he's a multi-billionaire.
And again, for me, it's the hypocrisy of people saying Democrats don't value male and female. Democrats don't value babies. Democrats don't value marriage. Listen, I have never seen two men with more disdain and disregard for womanhood and family and children than Elon Musk and Donald Trump. I'll throw in there too, because we know Elon has at least 14. Donald Trump has what, 5? So that's 19 kids with minimum 7 different women, but most likely a much higher number.
Look, I mean,
this is evil. This is gross.
My thing is, if you have a problem with one, you have to have a problem with both sides doing it.
You do, right.
And just some consistency there.
Let's call it out that this is psychotic behavior. That should be concerning in and of itself.
You can leave us a voice message on the Audacy app. AUDACY, text messages 314-436-7900. We are about to wrap up here on the Chris and Amy Show. A few more minutes to go on 104.1 FM KMOX. Gas House Gang is coming up just after 12 o'clock. Bernie Miklas and I will talk Cardinals baseball. We'll start there. Going to have some Blues talk for you as well, because we know the Blues are going to play on Saturday in the playoffs, game one against the Winnipeg Jets. So that is happening today in a matter of minutes. We were just talking about Elon Musk and his odd behavior when it comes to
evil,
fathering children, perverted, with multiple women and then paying them for it. It's very, very strange.
And fathering them in different ways, by the way. Sometimes he just wants to, quote, knock them up and just goes on a vacation to have sex. Other times he just donates sperm to people he never met. And he met him on, he got to know them on Twitter.
Steve is with us from Kirkwood. Hello, Steve.
Hey, guys, I couldn't agree with you more as far as the morals. I don't know Elon Musk, but on face value, that's pretty screwed up. I voted for Trump. I don't like him as a human being. I like his policies. His policies to me are rock solid, and including the tariffs. I was an economics major, and I agree with what he's doing long term. But my greatest achievement of my life with my wife of 37 years is my two kids. And I got to give, as much as I don't like Trump, he's raised some, on face value, some pretty well-rounded, educated, well-mannered children. I mean, Joe Biden he's raised some really problem children. So I don't know Elon Musk. I don't know. He must really want to have a lot of kids. $15 million, unfortunately, I know a lot of people would think that was a great deal to walk away with $15 million. I'm not like that. I believe in morals. I believe in the marriage. I'm excited about the Easter season, so I consider myself a pretty moral guy. But as much as I want to blast Trump, and I would not want him dating my sister, my daughter, or my wife, he's raised good kids. I can't say that about Hunter Biden, who's probably one of the biggest pieces of trash I've ever seen in my entire life. So,
well, that's not even necessary. We appreciate the phone call. Sometimes you can try to do good as a parent, and then it doesn't work out. I wouldn't say his son, who served in the military and subsequently died from an illness, was a piece of trash. So I think that's completely unfair. And I also would not say that Don Jr. Yeah. Eric are necessarily great people. They kind of suck too. So I'm not really sure where you're coming from there.
And when kids grow up, eventually they make their own decisions.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
And so I would never hold that against Joe. What I do hold against Elon or Don Trump is cheating on your wives with porn stars, or just sleeping with women that you deem, okay, she's smart enough, I'm going to sleep with her, don't talk to me anymore. It's such a perversion of what life is supposed to be.
All right, Amy Marks Kors, I'll see you. The show comes back tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Amy is out. John Hancock is in with me tomorrow at 9. Anything you missed on the Odyssey app, and you can listen at KMOX.com. It's all there for you. But coming up next, it is the Gas House Gang. We're going to talk some Redbirds. Bernie Miklas joins me next on 104.1 FM KMOX.